I've been away on vacation for a couple of weeks and really enjoy time away. But as I listen to the choir, I'm reminded of something Mortimer Adler said, distinguishing vacation from what he called rest, Sabbath rest. He was speaking specifically of the tradition of Sabbath. There is that when one rests inside a spiritual gift like yours that is unlike any other kind of peace. And I thank you for that. Where does the new come from? You know, a new act, a new attitude, a new thought. Something that is not rolling in the ruts of our past, but really new. The question is bigger than it appears. It's at the center of human being, I think. It's like the energy inside a tiny seed. What is the source of the new? In every conflict, in every uncertainty that we face, there must come either more of that conflict and uncertainty or a breakthrough, something new. If you struggle with your health, in your body, in your mind, in your spirit, either your struggle will become more intense or something new will come. In your marriage, if it is in conflict, it will become more conflicted or something new will break in. What is the source of these things? At work, whether the conflict or the challenge is in the relationships or in your desire to develop or to develop the whole organization, either it is more of the conflict and uncertainty or something new must break in. And in organizations as large as a nation or as small as a church, likewise, these struggles, either they stay the same and grow more intense, or something new comes. Could there really be a more urgent question than the source of the new? For many years, to a person who counsels with me, who may be in his dark night, I have said that there are only two options when facing great loss or great challenges. It's either misery or spiritual growth. There's not really any middle term. It's one or the other. Where does the new come from? The tiredest old answer of all is from him, from her, from them. In other words, everything would be all right with me if they just change. That's the really tired old answer to the question of the new. You change, you do something new, I'm all right. Or taking a leaf from Jesus' book, if that fruitless tree could just be cut down, if those useless weeds could just be torn out, if that political party we don't like could just be removed, if that wing wouldn't flap so much, well, we know this is not so. The new must come through you, not to you. Another tired old answer to the question of the new is technology. Goodness knows, technology brings new stuff to our lives and our desks almost every day. Some of it really changes how we interact. Let me repeat that for those of you who are on Twitter. Some of it really changes how we interact. Now, look, an interview with an inventor about her experience of what it's like to be in the inventing mode would give us a glimpse of the source of the new. But her inventions don't bring that new to us. Oftentimes they do something a little worse, actually. They bring us new ways, neat ways, to avoid dealing with our stuff. Have you ever sat and tried to have a new thought? You just sort of sit there in your chair and try to have a new thought. It does not work. More to the point, is there anybody in the room who has never felt mentally assaulted by the same thought coming back again and again and again, like a wheel, a hamster wheel in a cage, just around and around, and you don't even know quite how to let it go? Those of you who are therapists in the room are working with women and men who are dealing with something like that almost always. How repetitive most of our thoughts are. Thought, Krishnamurti says, is old, always old. Is there anything new under the sun? Ecclesiastes thinks not. This could be a pessimistic line of thinking that we're on. Must all of our hopes for the new be purchased on a layaway plan, picked up by and by in the sky? Let us not embrace that forlorn thought. There is a different way here. Now, as summer comes to a close, as the fall opens with its predictable demands and its unusual promises and strange threats of winter to come, I would like you to taste an idea that may be new to you. The idea we'll work with is this. The question about becoming a channel for what is new is what real religion is for. The question about becoming a channel for God's new is what real religion is for. Again and again in these scripture passages, we hear Jesus warning his listeners that they are stuck in old ways that are keeping them in a kind of hell. They rely too much on systems and authorities outside themselves, leading them to think that they know how things work. They may not like it, but they know how things work. That's their theory. There's just too many words, Jesus seems to be saying. His question, why do you not judge for yourselves instead of taking all your disputes to the authorities, to judges? Find within yourself, he seems to be exhorting these people. Turn to an authority within yourself to settle your disputes, your conflicts, rather than asking an authority to establish for you what is so. Earlier in this chapter in Luke, a man came to Jesus asking him to settle an inheritance dispute. Jesus replied, "Friend, who set me as a judge over you? I am not a divider," he says. In effect, the word here is, by seeking authorities outside yourselves, you have abdicated the creative power within you to resolve your conflicts, your challenges. Now, next story, Jesus is listening to the news. It's the usual eyewitness Channel 4 stuff. In this news, Pontius Pilate has executed some Galilean Jews in a grotesque display of scorn for their religion, and a tower has fallen over, killing 18 people. Sounds like tonight's news, doesn't it? And then Jesus says to his audience, "Do you think God makes things like these to happen to punish sinners? Is that where your head's at?" His question, frankly, leaves no room for the ones who are going to say yes. He's angry that people would think that God uses disasters, political or natural, to punish people. Of course God's not like that, Jesus seems to be saying. It makes me wonder where Pat Robertson's Bible was 5 years ago when he was drawing connections between Katrina and New Orleans. Well, in this Jesus story, these proto-Pat Robertsons think they know how God works. Through Pilate to get at those bad people, and through crashing towers to get at these. You know, at this point, Jesus would jump right up with Sigmund Freud and claim with Freud that a God like that is nothing but a projection of your fear and your judgment, congealing like concrete in old thoughts. It's a kind of hell to think like that, Jesus says. Nothing new can come if you stay stuck in rigid patterns of thought and about how things work. God cannot breathe a breath when our little systems are all fixed and certain. Repent, Jesus says, or you will perish. And now our old thought systems go into overdrive. We think we know what Jesus means by repent, and it does not bring us good cheer, that word. We think we know what he means by perish, and that's even worse. Now, some of us may entirely reject this ancient worldview that we think we understand. Some of us may want to accept it. After all, it's in the Bible, and the Bible is the authority. But either way, reject or accept, the sound and fury of the phrase, repent or perish, triggers in us old thoughts, old resistance, old reactions, nothing new. Can this possibly be Jesus' meaning and Jesus' way? Be firm here. It cannot. If you have been to church a lot and heard a number of sermons, you must have heard some of your preachers speak about this unusual word, repent, in the Bible. I'm going to say it in Greek. We don't do this too often. Metanoite is the word. And it's so different from what we feel when we hear the word repent, this is worth a little time. The word has the word trans, meta, and noite means thinking, more or less. In other words, get out of your mind. Get beyond your thoughts. Transform your thinking, or surely you will perish just as you lived. How? In judgment, in condemnation, in old thoughts, in old systems. I don't think Jesus' word has any more theoretical humdrum around it than that. Get out of your thoughts or you will perish in them. Their rigidity, their oldness, their smell. When words won't deliver you into the peace you desire, won't deliver you from your conflicts or into your challenges in a new spirit and a new mind, then you must move beyond thought. This is Jesus' message. Now, at the beginning, I suggested that becoming a channel for what is new is what real religion is all about. And here is the source. Jesus is saying it. He's also offering a curse on false religion. It helps to hear these contrasts sometimes. False religion channels old thoughts and fears up under the name of God. False religion abuses the name of God and pastes it over top all of our old reactive nature and our fears and says, it's God who is subscribing these things. And many who seek authority outside themselves believe this. They give up their freedom. They give up their crown, really, their creativity, their authority, and they become part of that hell of perishing judgmentalism. Why do you not judge for yourselves? Metanoite. Get beyond your old story, open to the channel through which God is sending God's new thing through you, not just to you. Well, how? You might ask. If there was a lever to pull, a prayer to pray, a formula to fill here in the church laboratory, you know, it would soon become a system. It would just be an old way of doing things, and it would become its own kind of spiritual error. This really is the tragedy of religion in human hands. Too often we receive the ancient forms from our mothers and fathers in the spirit as if they're going to work for us or should work for us magically. I read just this past summer how Carl Jung came to his 12th birthday, more or less, his first communion, expecting it to be something really extraordinary, and it was nothing. And from that, he made the conclusion that the church was full of error. Many are. But nothing on earth just plain works to bring the new into our old conflicts. Why? Because there's no authority set up over you, not the church, not even government, and certainly not your own psyche. There's no system set up over you. Metanoite. Repent of these old ways. Get beyond your thought about how things work. The eternal will, Hashem, the name, reality, this life of God, call it what you will, God requires that you participate in God's creation, that you take part. Jesus says, do not perish as if you were a victim of forces that are beyond you. Accept your authority, which is the gift of God, Holy Spirit, inside you. Become God's creator of God's world. Still, you ask rightly, how? In the language of Christian faith, participation in God's creation is through relinquishment. It's not the only action, but it's the first action. It's the most powerful thing you can do with your will. When words won't work, when thoughts stay stuck, open, listen, observe. Be wholly part of a community. Do you wonder why people join a church, why we're offering that opportunity once again? I know there are lots of people in our society who love church, but who hold back from joining. Here is perhaps the most central reason to consider what it is to join a community. It is to submit yourself to a body greater than your imagination and thoughts can conceive. To become part of something without having your ego first in order as the main voice to be listened to. Do you wonder why we share in communion? It's not because we have any theory about salvation surrounding this action. None at all. Did you know that? That's a 500-year-old affirmation of the Reformed tradition. This is not about getting you saved. No, this is about participation. About taking part in the body of Christ. We call it communion, becoming one with one another and with a body greater than our thoughts can conceive. It is a submission of the will, the heart, the mind. Do you wonder why all the traditions teach meditation, a prayer of no words, to participate in the reality of God? Listen to this voice from 700 years ago, the Christian teacher Meister Eckhart. God works without instruments or images. The freer you are from images and thoughts, the more receptive you are to God's interior operation. Participate. When words won't serve, you must go beyond them. Metanoite, repent of the old. Take your part in creating God's creation. Friends, we are living into a world historical crisis of change. The outcome of the conflict is by no means determined for good or ill. I say it is between more technology and more domination, more words, you might say, more control, and discovering, or we might say, having enough human beings discovering the way of relinquishment. This is how serious the times are. And there is energy coming from the Spirit of God on behalf of those who are seeking to learn the way of relinquishment, the path of shalom, the spirit of Islam. Did you know that shalom and Islam are the same word? Did you know that? And that it means to submit, to relinquish? A week from today in the afternoon, at 3 p.m., there will be a demonstration in downtown Manhattan of all those who would hold up the possibility of Christian, Jew, and Muslim coming together around the symbols that so tear at our national fabric in the news. I will be there. I understand that people of goodwill and good minds differ on the subject of the Islamic Center that is at Park 51. But I want you to know about that. 3 p.m., September 12th, downtown. You can talk with me if you're interested. But I tell you, whatever the case with that particular action, the big issue is we are in a time of world historical change. Will the West learn from its own deep root how to let go of the way of domination and to invite the paths of peace, of relinquishment, of listening, of observation? Here, you may make a commitment. Here, in your local church, more intentionally, really, than in any other organization you're likely to participate in, here are the symbols and the practices that help you move beyond yourself, beyond your thoughts, beyond your past, into the possibility of God's creation. All this when words won't serve. Amen.